Welcome to the podcast. I'm Richard McLean.
I'm Mitch Parker.
And this is Please Leave a Message. All right, this is episode 29. This is season 2, and this will be episode 11 of season 2. And Mitch, this is what, your like third or fourth time on the show? I've lost track.
I think it's my third.
Okay, but then you also had the interview episode.
Right, so it equals 4.
So nobody's been on the podcast as many times as Mitch.
Wow.
Except me. All right, so we're called Please Leave a Message because you can call in and leave us a message. Our phone number is 801-SKETCH-1. That's 801-753-8241. And you can call and you can tell us stories about when you ran into Sasquatch in the middle of the woods.
Yeah.
Or you can tell us about that time that you rode a dolphin to Neverland. Or you can tell us that time when a scary clown jumped out of your closet at you. Just whatever you feel like, and then we will feature you on the show. We really like it when people call in, because that's less of me talking.
And it's the name of the show.
That's right. Anytime we have visual things, since we're not a video podcast, we post on our Instagram account, which you can find us at Message Podcast. That's at Message Podcast on Instagram. So we've got some stuff to take pictures of to post this time. This is going to be a fun show. And you can find the podcast at pleaseleavemessage.com, or you can find us on iTunes, or you can say, "Hey, Alexa, please leave a message podcast," and it should play. She only seems to understand about half the time when you say that. So if you're too embarrassed to give us a call, you can at least email us. You can email us at pleasepodcast@gmail.com. All right. You got any recent news, Mitch?
Let's see. Nope.
Okay. I started an audiophile club in our neighborhood.
Yeah?
And an audiophile is in quotes because we're not pretentious.
Ah.
It's called an audiophile club. We get together to just share music that we like with each other. And we had our first meeting the other day. This was my alternative to a book club, because the ladies in the neighborhood get together for a book club. And I'm like, I don't want to do a book club, but I want to get together with the guys. And we already do get together and go watch movies occasionally, but that's not like you go to the theater, you sit in the darkened theater for 2 hours, and then you go home. And there's not a lot of talking and getting to know each other. So, and I found as I've gotten older that I need human interaction. I'm really bad at it. So we actually, this was my third meeting of the audio club when people actually came. So the first one, I invited all these people. Nobody showed up. The second time was just kind of my family all went out of town and I've got the house to myself. If you can come over, come over. I need some human interaction. And nobody came that time either. But the third time people came and it was fun. And we talked about the history of surround sound. I played some surround sound stuff for them. I showed them how to get surround sound music out of a stereo file or a stereo source, and showed them how cool that can actually be. I used to be kind of a purist when it came to audio.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, if it's stereo, I listen to it in stereo. If it's surround, I listen to it in surround. If it's mono, I listen to it in mono. And then as I learned more about surround sound and some of the technology in it, I kind of decided that what it was doing was not necessarily simulating surround, but it was more restoring the surround that should have been there in the first place. So the different algorithms that take your stereo signal and turn it into a surround sound signal, they're listening to it and they're listening for cues as to the directionality of the music when it was originally recorded. And so I've decided that listening to it in surround is more of a restoration process.
Okay.
And so I'm no longer a purist, because I really can't stand stereo stuff anymore. When I play stereo music through my system, it just sounds so flat. And if I take the same stereo source and I play it in surround, it just suddenly comes alive. And so I listen to everything that way now, except the mono stuff. I don't have a good thing to upscale mono. I was playing with it the other day, hoping that one of the systems that I had would work for it, but it just doesn't. It didn't work very well. Hmm. In fact, it almost seemed like I was losing information to try and do that. I know there are some systems that'll do it. The guy that invented Dolby ProLogic 2 lives here in the state, and I've been to his house, and it's amazing, and the sweetest sound system I've ever heard in a house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll bring you to tears. It'll move your hair when you're listening to the 1812 Overture and the cannons go off. Wow. I mean, it was just sweet. Anyway, some of his old systems had a mono to surround thing built into it, but I don't have any of those. So, and I was specifically testing that out the other day because I had some mono stuff, and I was like, oh, I wonder if that'll sound any good up next, and it really didn't. So I'm something that I'll need to get my hands on.
Yeah.
Plus, well, we can talk about that later. I think I mentioned on the last episode that I am in a band now. I play bass, and about a year ago, I won a drawing, and I won a guitar pedal, like a year ago, and I didn't even really play guitar then.
Mm-hmm.
I barely play now, but so I've been playing in this band, so I'm like, oh, I got that pedal. Why don't I pull that out and hook it up? I'm like, ah, this thing really sounds cool, and now I'm obsessed with guitar pedals.
You caught the bug, the pedal disease.
I did. I already bought one, and I've got a list of like 13 or so, roughly, that I want to get.
And it's only going to get bigger.
Well, I'm hoping that I'll be happy with the sound from those. There's like any others that I've looked at, it's like, yeah, that's just... All the other ones that I looked at that are like, oh, that's cool, but it's gimmicky. Like these ones I think are the foundation of what I would like. Anything else would just be a toy, I think.
Yeah, I've thought that myself, but then there, you know, you want a certain sound and different pedals provide it. And yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, and the whole thing, like guitars it's a mono thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a single output. At least as far as I've seen. I don't think I've ever...
It depends.
I don't think I've ever seen a stereo guitar, like a guitar that had two outputs on it.
Well, you use two different amps.
Right. No, I've got that. So both of these pedals that I've got are stereo pedals.
Okay.
And so that's part of the thing that I think will help me not get too crazy about them.
Because
I'm like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it in stereo. Because I'm the surround sound guy. And if I have to not be surround sound guy... I'll have to at least be stereo guy. So every time I'm looking up a pedal now, I'm like, okay, this has to work in stereo. Otherwise, it's out. So every single pedal that I've picked up, except for like the first two, like I've got another one that's on the way. It's just a tuner pedal. So that one's obviously going to be mono. But then like the next one that I get takes your mono and turns it into stereo. And then the rest of the chain from that point on is going to be stereo.
Wow.
I'm weird that way.
Yeah, everyone's got their thing.
That's going to be my thing. And I'm like, well, I already had a couple amps, so why not? Right?
Yeah.
So there's that. I got this cool record the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Mitch, do you have any cool records?
I have a few. I don't have nearly the collection you have, but I've got a handful.
Nobody really should have. But it's like... It's like everything I do. So I'm obsessed with pedals now. I'm obsessed with records. Anything that I like, I don't just like. I obsess about everything. Mm-hmm. It's a personality flaw, quirk, whatever you want to call it.
Curse.
Yeah. Actually, I haven't actually played it. I like put it on the turntable to make sure it was the right version. Because I do want to sample part of it on the show. So it's a Monty Python record.
Oh, yeah?
And it's called Matching Tie and Handkerchief. It's a weird name, and it's not on the album because it's one of the really early things. Mm. So it doesn't say it's by Monty Python. It says it's by the Monty Python. The cool thing about it is both sides are labeled as side A, I think. No, they're both labeled side two. That's what it is. They're both labeled side two, which really confused me at first because side two is supposed to be double tracked. So instead of having one groove, there's two.
Mm.
So if you're playing and you lift the needle up a little and drop it back down, it might hit that other groove.
Uh-huh.
And so if you play it from the beginning, you don't know which one you're going to get. So there's two grooves. It's cool. It's a fun little quirky record. Anywho, this week's interview is with Kelly Wilkins, who we had co-hosting the last episode. So we've got his iTick interview. We'll play that now. All right, so we call this part of the podcast iTick. We ask everybody the same 6 questions in an effort to find out what makes them tick.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So first, tell us your name and what you do.
My name is Kelly Wilkins, and I am the president of Accent Aerials. And basically what Accent Aerials does is we go and capture on video portfolios of luxury design groups, high-end real estate companies, and we basically sell them the videos for their social media, their web presence and everything to market their portfolios and stuff like that. So we've done work in California, a lot in Park City, a lot up in Big Sky, Montana. So yeah, just kind of all over the place. I got some stuff coming up in Vegas, but yeah, Accent Aerials.
Very cool. All right. Tell us your earliest memory.
It's kind of funny, actually. So my mom says that I fell off of her bed when I was a little baby. And I can remember falling off the bed and staring up at her. I think that's my earliest memory. I don't know why I captured that as a little baby. But mom, don't feel bad if you do.
It was so traumatic.
Very traumatic for me. No. But I do remember that. Okay. I told her that memory. And she said, you fell off of a bed when you were a little baby. And, you know, that's one of the earliest memories. I don't know if that's what you're looking for.
No, that's exactly the kind of stuff we're looking for.
I have a pretty good memory when it comes to certain things I've found. So I'm like an elephant.
All right. Tell us a story from your childhood, something that's influenced your life, maybe something you haven't shared often.
You know, I think something that's really influenced me, especially my work, is my dad had a flooring business. Growing up, my dad was self-employed and he would take me with him to his clients' houses. And, you know, I was just a little kid, so I didn't really know. To me, I thought they were my dad's friends, and he would go to his clients' houses and, you know, talk to them about what they wanted. And to me, I thought that they were just friends. And so my dad mixed a lot of his entrepreneurship with, you know, his ability to make friends with people. And that really influenced me. And I think it gave me an edge with networking. I'm good at networking. And I think that really influenced it. So
cool. Yeah. Okay. Share with us a piece of music that's been highly influential in your life.
Growing up, I played in the orchestra, and I remember my friends and I had to learn the Brandenburg Concertos. And I remember specifically Brandenburg Concerto No. 3. And that concerto influenced me because I remember practicing it so hard. And from practicing that concerto, I was able to distinguish myself amongst my classmates. And it really kind of helped me get to where I wanted to be as far as my, you know, violin career in high school and junior high and high school, which, you know, isn't that big of a deal. But to me, I worked really hard at that and it kind of helped distinguish me. So I think that really influenced my work ethic a little bit.
Awesome. All right, share with us a piece of media that's been highly influential.
You know, I feel like right now a big influence on me has been my friend's YouTube channel. My friend has a YouTube channel that has millions of followers, and his videos are, you know, they're really interesting to watch, and it's influenced me in a way that has showed me that people can do whatever they're passionate about and find other people who share that passion, and that can really take you to a place as a person that's really gratifying and empowering. And so his YouTube channel it's a Stuart Edge YouTube channel. It's shown me, and he as a person has shown me, that you can do and be whatever you want. You just have to, it sounds cheesy, but you have to believe in yourself. So that's something really big in my mind right now.
Tell us about your passion and why you do it.
My passion definitely would be video. And I do it because growing up, my dad and mom had a video camera and they liked to use it a lot, you know, just like any American family, to capture home videos. But they gave me their old video camera and I would use it to make cool videos with my friends. And, you know, as junior high and high school came, they would buy me a little camera to use, and I would take that to social events and everything. And so I'm passionate because, you know, I had that available to me and it was a form of expression. And so it was fun to be able to have a story to tell and to have a way to tell it. And so that's, you know, I've made that my work now. And, you know, with my Boy Named Kelly brand on YouTube, kind of a way of self-expression. So, you know, video can be seen anywhere by anyone at any time, just like audio can be heard. And so, yeah, that's kind of that.
Awesome. Kelly, what makes you tick?
What makes me tick? Carbs. I love bread. No. You know, what makes me tick? I would say people believing in me. You know, I really thrive off of approval of other people, which, you know, we shouldn't always depend on the approval of others to approve of ourselves. But, you know, being told that I can do something, you know, it really hits home for me. And so it's important for me to surround myself with people who believe in me and my abilities and can, you know, tell me what those abilities are. So that's important to me.
Great. All right. If people want to see your work or contact you or hire you, how can they get a hold of you?
They sure can get a hold of me by going to accentaerials.com. Or, you know, you can find me for my other fun stuff, my YouTube stuff, just looking at Boy Named Kelly on YouTube and Instagram. We're not very big yet, but I'm hoping that one day, my biggest video has 10,000 views right now, which is not very big.
That's better than anything I've done.
I know. So, you know, I've got a little drop in the bucket, but yeah, for work, accentaerials.com, and then Boy Named Kelly for my passion stuff on YouTube.
Awesome. Thanks for coming down and being on iTick.
Thank you.
And that was Kelly.
How bizarre.
Kelly's a cool guy. I like his business. He like has this business where he flies drones in like super rich people's houses.
Yeah.
And takes pictures of the houses for like when they're selling the house kind of thing. Or he'll do it for like businesses that are trying to show off how cool their business is and that kind of thing for their promotional videos and that kind of thing. So he just flies drones around and he goes all over the place to do it. Hmm. It's a pretty cool business.
Does he fly around on a giant drone to get there?
I should suggest that to him. All right, Mitch, what is all this stuff you brought for us?
I brought some of my goofy musical instruments. It's one of my obsessions, I guess. I collect musical instruments.
Okay.
And I brought some of them. Some of the ones I wanted to bring I couldn't find because I'm still in the process of moving. So some stuff is in storage, but couldn't find some things. And anyway, but here's a few things. Where to start? Some of these I actually can play. Most of them I can't, but they're fun to play around on, you know. Like this thing. It's a drum, Middle Eastern drum. It's called a darbuka or something. I can't remember, but it's totally out of tune. I don't think I've tuned it in a couple years. So, yeah, here's a nice example for you. For anyone who can actually play it, you can laugh at me. Yeah, if it was tuned, it would sound even sharper. You want to try it?
I do, yeah. How do you hold it?
Something like that.
I feel like I'm muting it.
Yeah. It would bark more if it was tuned.
That's cool. What's it called again?
I think it's called a darbuka.
Darbuka. All right. I'm going to take pictures of all these as you show them to us.
So that's fun to, you know, make noise on and annoy people. And it can add some nice flavor to a track. Here's a favorite that I, you know, used to be able to play. I haven't played this one. Well, I haven't really practiced it in a couple of years, but, you know, the old concertina. Tuned kind of like a, I think it is tuned like a harmonica, the Richter system, but I can pick things out on the harmonica, but for some reason using bellows instead of your lungs and mouth makes it feel like totally different. So someday I'll figure out how to play all the folk songs. Want to try it?
Well, you need an eye patch to play this, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Or be missing a bunch of teeth. That helps. Pro.
quite fun.
All right. This isn't a very wacky instrument. Everybody's seen the old mandolin, but yeah, I've been camping out at my parents' house right now while I'm looking for another place in the process of. I forgot that we had a mandolin there, so I picked it up and I'm trying to figure out how to play it. I just went to it's pretty much in tune. I just went to Guitar Center, messed around on some of their mandolins, and found out that this one doesn't project very well.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a cheapy one, but gotcha. I'm figuring it out, so. And the tuning is really throwing me off. It's tuned, I guess, like a violin, but right. I never played the violin. So it's like a backwards bass, which is the instrument I probably am the most familiar with. So having the strings totally backwards is...
Just play it left-handed.
Well, that's the thing. It's tuned backwards, so...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So the notes are... The high notes are low and the low notes are high. Yeah, this has been fun to goof around on. My brother says it makes his hands feel really fat. 'Cause it's small. And he plays guitar, so.
I pretend to.
Yeah, I think we all do. What have we here? Okay. Here's a penny whistle that my friends gave me for Christmas. John and Leslie, I think I gave them a shout out on the Sasquatch show because they gave me a sweet shirt I was wearing.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Apparently, some dude at the Provo Farmers Market makes and sells these.
Oh, so. Nice.
Not sure what kind of pipe he made this from, but yeah. Ooh. It's fun.
Nice.
Penny whistle. Oh, yeah. And then here's a low whistle that's the same thing but bigger. On the internet, you know, they've got the specs for this, but it's just one made from a PVC pipe. So I bought this one instead of making my own because, you know, you have to be like... right on with the holes or it'll be way out of tune. Also, you have to hold it differently because it's big. Yeah, PVC low whistle in D, I think.
That kind of reminds me of like those Celtic, what do they call those? An Irish flute?
Yeah. Yeah, they're used a lot in Celtic folk stuff. Oh, yes. Here we have the güiro. My dream is to play, you know, to be the designated güiro player in a reggae band. Do it this way. It has more volume. Yeah.
You just want to get dreadlocks.
Yeah, that's all I want, really.
Oh, that just makes me want to... That's like Exotica.
Friends. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we got up with the Exotica. Do the bird sounds.
Uh-huh.
That's not the bird I was thinking of. Doom, 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 doom.
Oh, here we go. Castanets. Crab people. Oh, boy. So this is a cuica I made from a bongo drum.
Okay.
But I learned a hard lesson. Bongo heads vary in size from manufacturer to manufacturer. They don't have a universal size, unlike almost every other kind of drum.
Oh, okay.
So I tried mounting this head myself, but the ring is a little too small for the frame, and so it's almost pulled off. But anyways, Yeah.
So the funny thing is, you posted a picture or a little video of you playing on Instagram. And I literally, like 2 days before you posted that, I was listening to like some Rio Brazilian kind of music. And I was like, how do they make that noise? I couldn't figure it out. I was like, that's just the weirdest sound. Where does that come from? And then you posted a picture of you doing it. I'm like, oh, that's what it is.
Yeah, you need a soggy rag, a stick and a drum, and rub rosin all over the stick.
Oh, okay.
And then you can change the pitch just by playing with the head. It would be a lot easier if you have the right size. Kind of ring for your to mount your drum head.
Gotcha.
So that's a lesson for everyone. Okay, here's a nice trick I learned from the internet. You get some tubing from the hardware store. I think it's some kind of plumbing stuff. Put a cheap trumpet mouthpiece on there.
Okay. That's amazing.
Yeah, you can mostly just play the fundamentals of your whatever, however long you make it, you know, so maybe three notes. But but it's loads of fun anyway. And then you can make it louder if you put like a funnel on the end.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this one changes lives. okay. This is the Suzuki Andes 25F. Yeah.
Sounds like a calliope.
Yeah.
I did not expect that at all.
Essentially a...
I thought it would sound like a melodica.
Yeah, a keyed recorder.
That's cool. So,
but they call it the Andes 25F. That's 25 flutes, because they're 25 keys.
Gotcha.
And it also sounds like a pan pipe in the lower register there. I guess.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, man. This is, like, the most magical thing ever. Got this one from Sam.
Okay. Who does our theme song?
Yeah. It's the Korg Monotron, a pocket-size ribbon synthesizer.
What? Oh, my gosh. And that is amazing.
Yeah, it's got an auxiliary input and the headphone output. You hook this up to a sweet keyboard amp, and it sounds pretty awesome.
That sound at the beginning sounded like the beginning of the Steve Miller Band.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think these go for like $40 online. Everybody needs one, I think. Then they've got a few models with like one with a dual voice, one with a built-in echo effect you can mess around with.
That thing's incredible.
Yeah, it's got me through many a boring event. The built-in speaker's nice, and then, you know, you being able to use headphones when, like, because you can't play it at church except during the hymns or something.
One of the pedals that I want to get is a synth pedal.
Mm.
So you tweak it and then you play it and it sounds more like a synth than it does a guitar.
Yeah, I've got a...
And that's the thing, like, I will never have any reason to do that with the band that I'm in. But it's just, that's the kind of weird thing that I want just for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for your solo project. And, okay. This one is...
banjo-lele.
Yep. There we go. Okay. Yes, the grand time of the... And, yeah, this one's fun to pluck around on. We got the egg shaker.
Nice.
That's really not that cool, but, you know, you can use your medication bottle for the same thing.
So Wiz has some at his house. They're shakers, but instead of being egg-shaped, he's got a banana, and he's got an apple. And those are the favorites that get passed around to his house.
My brother, he used to collect skull things for some reason. I found a glow-in-the-dark skull shaker.
Oh, you had me at glow in the dark.
And yeah, that was pretty amazing. And then also, let's see. Ah, here we go. You got the finger cymbals.
Nice.
And this has the same problem as the concertina strap.
Oh, yeah.
I got this on eBay.
So now you can use this.
Oh, right. Yeah. Had a belly disc for your husband. Oh, that is beautiful. Wow. Bonus book inside. How to Belly Dance for Your Husband by famous belly dancer Little Egypt. So
there's just some records you can't pass up. Yeah. When you see them.
Wow. There's this Russian lady I saw online.
Yes, I've seen her. But I can never remember her name because it's weird.
Because it's Russian and stuff.
Yeah.
And she makes all those animal noises while doing the jaw harp,
mm-hmm.
or Jew's harp, as it is often called. So I ordered this because it's, I ordered it from Russia.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what she does.
Yep. So if you breathe out through it.
I got one that actually
changes the noise.
Is a lot better. This was a lower end model of the ones they make.
Okay.
But you know, I got this one. I think just
I've got one that looks a little more like
music.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine's longer than that.
Yeah, I've got a couple. One that's like twice the size, and another one that is broken. But endless fun with those. More penny whistles. I got to show you this trick.
That's impressive.
Thanks. Yeah. So you just tape up the holes to make a drone pipe. And impress everyone. You put a contact mic on any instrument, and that can make it a lot better. We got the kalimba here with a contact mic and a delay echo effect. Slightly overdriven. Anything and make, you know, put effects on it. And that's more fun for everyone.
Now I need a contact mic.
Yeah, you can make them. You've got electronics know-how. I think this one was $2 on eBay, so. But I see lots of people make them out of, like, put them in soda caps.
Okay.
And yeah, you can make them out of anything, really big glass plates and stuff. But
that's a fun little amp, too.
Yeah, it was $20 at Guitar Center. So, Yeah. Can't beat that.
That crate right there.
Uh-huh.
$11 at the DI.
Oh, well, you can beat that then.
But it's the only one I've ever seen there.
Yeah.
I didn't even play or have a guitar at the time. I was just like, yeah, I'm going to buy that.
Yeah, that's and a steal.
I don't think I bought a guitar for like until like 3 years later.
Somehow you knew you would need it someday. Okay. Oh, man. This one. Brace yourself.
I'm getting really excited for this one.
Yes, an electric kazoo.
It's amazing.
So, basically the same thing, except this has a, you know, a silly pickup built into it. We mentioned melodicas. I brought some of my melodica collection. We got the Hohner alto. It's funny. It's got a mouthpiece, but it doesn't really need one. You know, this is, you know, another reggae project. You know, people like Augustus Pablo or something. Everyone loves the melodica. Or else.
Yeah, my grandma had one when we were growing up.
Here's another part of the melodica collection. So, this one's got more range than that one, obviously. But when you get a bunch of people on the melodica together, wow, that's a reedy sound. Here's the piece de resistance.
Oh yeah, that's the one my grandma had, I think.
This is the Suzuki Bass 24 Melodeon, which is their brand name for melodica, I guess. Or maybe melodica is the brand name. I can't remember. It's the same thing with the Banjolele. It's Banjolele is product name. And so everyone else calls it a banjo uke.
Oh, wow.
This one takes a lot of air. So if you haven't been practicing, you know,
your You'll pass out.
Breathing, then yeah. And then, yeah, sometimes the reeds get blocked up like that.
That's crazy. That. Yeah, that looks a lot like the one my grandma had, except it's a bass.
So we have the pipe chanter that I can't play. I mean, I can make noises on it, but... Oh, gotta cover that hole. This is also a really cheap one, I must add. Apparently, if you're gonna get one, get a plastic one, because wood ones will warp.
Oh.
Good grief, and I guess I need a new reed or something. Also, the weird, to properly play the pipes, the weird rolls and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sounds like weird glitch music to me. Ugh, I need a new reed. Anyway, when it's working, I can make it sound like some kind of, you know, medieval instrument, but it doesn't sound like a chanter to me.
Everyone's always telling me, you need to get a chanter and learn to play pipes because you wear a kilt. Like, yeah, because everybody that's ever worn a kilt in the world knows how to pipe.
Man, you should eat nothing but haggis with that kilt. Okay, I think I've shown you just about everything. Oh, here's the Hohner Harpinet. So this is just a harmonica in a little resonator chamber.
Okay.
But I don't know, it sounds pretty good.
Had a green bullet for you.
Yeah, it's got a pretty warm sound. I never really could hear the sound, because on this side, when you're playing it, mm-hmm. you can't really hear it. But then my 1.5-year-old niece got her hands on it and was playing around, and I was like, well, it actually sounds pretty good.
So I have, that was one of the, I messed around with harmonica for a while, because I, for a Christmas gift once, I got country and blues harmonica for the musically hopeless. So that was, I played harmonica for a while. I was never super good at it. Slightly better than your average pick it up and screw around with it kind Sweet. Of person. So. Yeah.
Have you ever heard Jess play?
I haven't.
Yeah, he's good.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this little resonator chamber also makes it easier to bend the notes.
Okay.
So that's nice for anyone who plays harmonica that knows so what that means.
In fact, the first harmonica that I got... that came with that book. Like, some of the notes I could bend really good and others I couldn't bend so much. And after a while, it just sounded weird. And so I kind of put it aside and I got another one. And at some point, I decided to open it up. And, like, I had bent the notes so much that the reeds were literally...
Oh, yeah.
Like, the reeds were jacked up. And that's why it didn't sound right anymore, is because the reeds were so messed up.
Sweet.
And then I've got a harmonica book upstairs. The Dark Arts of Harmonica. Like, like everything you would ever want to know about playing a harmonica. It's got instructions in there on how to take it apart and file the reeds to get different sounds. And, like, like all this weird stuff that you never would have even... just thought to do. It's just crazy. But it's a cool little book. Well, yeah. Cool.
So I was gonna say, you know, since it's Please Leave a Message and all that, I'm always you know, looking for goofy novelty instruments. So if anyone wants to leave a message on how to hook me up with something.
Yeah, what was it you were looking for that one time? You, like, got on Facebook and you're like,
yeah.
Hey, does anybody know how to find a Glockenspiel this time of night?
Now I'm drawing a blank.
Of course, because I said that.
Yeah, it's doopy doopy doo. You know, that sugar plum, very keyboard instrument.
I can't think of it either. But I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And, I've been looking at diatonic melodeons lately, like, you know, folk accordions.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
That, I don't know, I guess they're kind of like the concertina, but you've got the bass keys and... it's a little different. It's got double reeds that has single reeds.
Okay. My wife actually has an accordion.
Yeah.
And it's weird because she just out of the blue one day was like, I want to play an accordion. And so she, like, looked up on KSL and she found one. She, like, drove up and bought it. I come home and she's got this accordion. She's sitting there playing. And it's a child size one.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still, like, huge. I'm like, I don't know how you would play a standard size one, because, like, this thing is massive. Like, I don't think my kids could play this. It's just too big. It's supposed to be a child size one.
And you gotta build that upper body strength.
Yeah. No kidding. Now. Well, awesome. Thanks for showing us all your cool and quirky little instruments.
Yeah, I hope it was entertaining enough.
It was. Have you ever been surprised that you liked a song?
Yeah, a lot of times.
Okay, so in my quest to find all the surround sound music I can get, I bought this music sampler, and all the music on this is in DTS format, and they've got it on here and different flavors of DTS. But the first song, so I bought this because it has Frank Zappa on it, and it's Dancin' Fool, and I'm like, yes, Dancin' Fool and surround sound. But it's from a live concert, and I'm not, like, a huge fan of live concerts on media for some reason. I don't know, I enjoy live concerts at them, but for some reason that sound just doesn't work for me. I don't have a lot of live albums that I really like. I'll put it that way. So I bought this purely because of that. I'd say secondary, I thought it was interesting that Shadazy has
on the same compilation
a song on here. And Shadazy, they actually went to my high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they went to Cypress High School up in Magna. That's where they're from. They, I didn't know any of them personally, but they always performed at, like, the...
Assemblies and stuff.
So secondary was that they were on that. And they have a whole surround sound album, which is kind of weird because, like, nobody has surround sound albums, but they do. There's a Queen song on here, which is awesome. But the very first song on here is Insane Clown Posse, which never in a million years would I think I would like Insane Clown Posse. First of all, you can't listen to any of it because it's explicit lyrics, but this is a radio edit. And that's actually ended up being my favorite song on this whole compilation. Oh, really? Yeah. I listened to it over and over again, and I was just like, man, I wish they had some clean music I could listen to. I really, really dig this sound, which I didn't expect at all.
What's the title?
It's Ain't Yo Business. There's no language in it. There's a couple lines in it that are kind of like, oh, that's borderline. I don't think I'd want to listen to it with my kids around.
Uh-huh.
But like, I really dig the sound. And so I was like looking into what they call that sound. And it's called Dark Carnival.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a cool, weird... It was really fun what they did with the surround sound. It was literally the most fun thing to listen to on this. And I have listened to it multiple times. It's so fun.
Nice.
So that's my surprise song story.
Yeah. I was going to say, I wanted to put together some sick beats to play some of these instruments over, but, you know, with some different things being in storage and not having so much space,
right,
it didn't work out.
Yeah, I see you didn't bring the drum machine that I repaired for
you. Yeah. Plus, the battery died in it. I didn't know that
there's a battery in it.
There was even a battery in it.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
And I took the thing apart.
Yeah, just one of those little disc. Yeah. But that it backs up everything you put on it, and
so you lost all your beats?
I lost all the sick beats I'd made.
Oh.
So, but fortunately, good old Bradford Gambles hooked me up with a new battery. Shout out there.
There you go.
But I still wasn't able to provide the beats this time. But I was going to say, once I can put some together, we should like have a rap battle or something.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. So the other day I was driving down the road and I didn't have the radio on, and this memory just popped into my head. Hey, didn't I a little while ago hear that Steve Tyler was going to do a country album, a solo country album? And I was like, I wonder if that ever came out or anything ever happened to that. Mm-hmm. So I came home, I looked it up on the internet, and it was like from 2 years ago that it had come out. I was like, why did that just randomly pop into my head? So I looked it up, I bought it. It's really quite good.
Really?
So yeah, it's called We're All Somebody From Somewhere. It's Steve Tyler, country album. And it's cool because like, it's just like the band, they were ready to just quit being Aerosmith because he was doing this side project. They were like so upset with him.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I had heard. They're like, you're doing a country album? We'll never be associated with you again. It's this weird, half the album sounds like Aerosmith and half the album sounds like country Aerosmith. So it's a really good album. I would recommend it. I think that's it for us today.
All right.
Do you have any last words?
No, just keep on rocking in the free world.
So yeah, give us a call, 801-SKETCH-1. Check our pictures out on Instagram. We're at Message Podcast. Send us a message on pleasepodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us at pleaseleavemessage.com. And thanks for listening.
Thank you.